I forgot about those.
They match.
Yeah. Whatever color you have has to match.
Oh.
You get two of them, just make sure they both match. The colors match. Doesn't matter.
Oh, so it doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter what color, as long as they match.
No, the window.
Doesn't matter. I'm there right now.
No, the charge. The charge. They're not
in. Doesn't matter. They're not dead.
This one. Just want to tell you that they're not in there. Everything you do put right here goes on there.
Yeah, so this is the main face washer. This is the key right here. So like for example, I want to preview this. It's previewed.
Wait, so this is the preview and this is the...
Yeah, this is the preview, so I want to change it. Oh, so I can change it. Sorry, change it. Keep it, like it's cute there. This is the key. This is what we preview. See, this is where you get this. Make this go live.
So this, the red one is live and the other one is preview.
I know that.
So every each new one you put the rest right at like there.
So camera. It's not any of the instruments that are out there.
Anything other than the mics?
The mics are not. No. is how I'm gonna get here. Oh, people back here. So what number mic is here? What number is the mic? Right, the red mic.
The red mic, 23. Sorry, 22.
And then what's the lapel?
Okay, sorry, 23. Lapel is 22.
Gives me assurance.
Did you try it?
unplug this. I'll see glory.
Face to face, Lord. Just want to see you. Face to face.
It's weird. Lord God, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Hand clap for the Lord. Actually, help me sing a song. Yeah. All right, Brother Jackie, come out. Because of who you are, I give you glory. Hey, because of who you are, I give you praise. Because of who you are, Lord. Because of who you are, I will lift my voice and say, Lord, I worship you. Because of who you are. And Lord, I worship. Lord, I worship you. Because of who you are. Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Jireh. My provider. My provider. Jehovah Nissi. Lord, you reign, Lord, you reign.
I feel like it's very close to Christmas.
Victory,
around.
Jehovah Shalom.
I guess we already paid for it.
My Prince of Peace, Prince of Peace. And I worship you because of who you are. Because of who you are, Lord. Because of who you are, I give you glory.
Yeah, put it
because of who you are, Lord, I'm here today. Because
just have to play around with the game.
You are,
keep playing around with it, try to get it.
I will lift my voice and say, Lord, I worship you because of who you are. Lord, I worship. Lord, I worship you because of who you are. Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Jireh,
you're my provider, Jehovah Nissi, Lord, you reign in victory, Jehovah Shalom.
Play with the piece in the camera. Try to unplug it again.
Amen. God bless you. Be seated. Thank you.
First Samuel chapter 9. Thank you, musicians. First Samuel chapter 9. We started on this a couple weeks ago, and I will start at verse 9 tonight. The first few verses we're talking about how Saul had lost, well, his father had lost some animals, some donkeys. And Father Kish sent Saul to look for them, and Saul and his servant decided when they couldn't find them, they went to look for the prophet and to see if they could get a word from the prophet regarding their animals. And so we're just kind of picking up the story there. And I find it really, really special that when God has a gift on the earth like he had Samuel at this time, that something that might seem minute to us is something that God was still concerned about. And that God would be concerned about this man's animals and tell him where the animals were. So for me, I just believe that God is concerned about everything that we're concerned about. Amen. Anything that troubles us, God is moved by it. So we don't have to be afraid to take any of our needs to the Lord. Any need that we have, we can just make sure to count. Verse 9 says, before time in Israel, when a man went to inquire of God, thus he spake, come and let us go to the seer. For he that is now called a prophet was before time called a seer. And then said Saul to his servant, well said, come let us go. So they went into the city where the man of God was, and as they went up the hill to the city, they found young maidens going out to draw water, and said unto them, is the seer here? And they answered them and said, he is, behold, he is before you. Make haste now, for he came today to the city, for there is a sacrifice of the people today in the high place. As soon as ye be come into the city, ye shall straightway find him before he go up to the high place to eat. But the people will not eat until he come, because he doth bless the sacrifice, and afterwards they eat that be bidden. Now therefore, get you up. For about this time, you shall find him. They're giving Saul and his servants some information regarding the seer. Also, the seer is going to prepare for the sacrifice, and then there's certain people that he bids to eat with him. Shot. And they're telling them that, but they have no idea that they're going to be some of the special guests. Even though they're coming to the city looking to go to the seer to ask about their animals, they didn't realize they're going to come and be special guests with the seer. God working on both ends.
Amen.
Hallelujah. It says, and they went up into the city, and when they were coming to the city, behold, Samuel came out against them for to go up to the high place. Now the Lord had told Samuel in his ear a day before Saul came, saying, tomorrow about this time, I will send thee a man out of the land of Benjamin, and thou shalt anoint him to be captain over my people Israel, that he may save my people out of the hand of the Philistines. For I have looked upon my people, because their cry is come unto me. And when Samuel saw Saul, the Lord said unto him, behold, the man whom I spake to thee of, this same shall reign over my people. And Saul drew near to Samuel in the gate and said, tell me, I pray thee, where the seer's house is. So here he's talking to the prophet and not realizing who he's talking to. But where the seer's house is. And Samuel answered Saul and said, I am the seer. And for me, you know, when I read things like this, there's a time where you try to be humble about letting people know who you are. But then there's a time when you can reveal who you are.
Right.
And not that he was not humble, but man's asking for a specific thing. I am that. I am the seer that you're looking for. I'm the prophet that God. And, you know, Brother Branham, oftentimes in the prayer lines, he would say things like, you believe me to be God's servant. You believe me to be God's servant. And, you know, yeah. And then there were other times he would say, you believe me to be God's prophet.
Amen.
Yeah. See, that was something different. Mm-hmm. And it was up to the person that was standing there to say whether they believed or not. And he'll say, I know that shake people sometimes. But see, Samuel, I mean, look, you're looking specifically. Oh, my God, I'm telling you, this just. You're looking specifically for somebody that can get something done for you. Like if you were going to the hospital, you don't want to see. You're not going there to see the person that's bringing food to you.
Right.
That's not why I'm in the hospital.
Right.
I mean, I have a. Can you get me a doctor?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I need to know the man that is the doctor, the woman that is the doctor. I need to see somebody been to school for a long time and they passed on a test and they here to take care of things. I'm gonna explain to them my problem. I need to fix.
Amen.
Get me the doctor. I'm not looking for water and juice and no. I need a doctor.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
And when the doctor walk in, you want them to be able to say, I am the doctor.
Yeah.
And you like, praise God. When they saw the seer, they were like, praise God. We right where we need to be. No more questions asked. I got a problem. I mean, only you can solve it. Yeah, oh my. You know, I'm reminded of the blind sister in Arkansas.
Right.
And she was she heard about the meetings and how different sick people being healed. And when she got down there and to the meetings, she's like, Daddy, and couldn't find a daddy. And Brother Branham was hearing the lady call her daddy, so he said he just kind of moved over to her area so intentionally, so that they could bump into it. He did it intentionally. And she's like, it's like, you looking for your daddy? Yeah, I came from his daddy. He's come over here to be prayed for by the healing man. And she say, you know, I just need to get to my daddy and we can get in there and get prayed for by the healing man. You don't believe nothing about this healing man. So yes, I do. I heard this and I heard that. And I believe if I can just get to the healing man, this thing gonna be over with. And he's just really testing my faith. You know, you can't believe that. And then Brother Branham eventually, through the conversation, revealed who he was. And he says, he say, I'm the one that's praying for the sick. She said, you the healer man? He said, no, I'm not the healer man. But Jesus is the healer man. But he has sent me to pray for the sick. She said, I tell you what, if you would just pray for me, I'll find my own dad. That lady wasn't coming there to just play games. I mean, she wanted the healer man.
Yeah.
And sometimes we got to be specific with what we want, and God will make sure we get what we want.
Amen. Amen.
Praise God. Amen. It's just up to our faith. But here, you know, we see this verse 19 says, tomorrow about this time I will send thee a man out of the land of Benjamin, and thou shalt anoint him to be captain over my people Israel, that he may save my people out of the hand of the Philistines. For I have looked upon my people because their cries come unto me. And when Samuel saw Saul, the Lord said, I was supposed to be at 19, I'm sorry. When Samuel saw Saul, the Lord said to him, behold, the man whom I spake to thee, the same shall reign over my people. Then Saul drew near to Samuel in the gate and said, tell me, I pray thee, where the seer's house is. And Samuel answered Saul and said, I am the seer. Go up before me unto the high place, for ye shall eat with me today. And tomorrow I will let thee go and will tell thee all that is in thine heart. And as for thine asses that were lost 3 days ago, set not thy mind on them, for they are found. And on whom is all the desire of Israel? Is it not on thee and on all thy father's house? And Saul answered and said, am not I a Benjamite of the smallest of the tribes of Israel, and my family the least of all the families of the tribe of Benjamin? Wherefore then speakest thou so to me? And Samuel took Saul and his servant and brought them into the parlor and made them sit in the chiefest place among them that were bidden, which were about 30 persons. And Samuel said unto the cook, bring the portion which I gave thee, of which I said unto thee, set it by thee. And they and the cook took up the shoulder and that which was upon it and set it before Saul. And Samuel said, behold, that which is left, set it before thee and eat. For unto this time hath it been kept for thee since I said, I have invited the people. So Saul did eat with Samuel that day. And when they were come down from the high place into the city, Samuel communed with Saul on the top of the house, and they rose early. And it came to pass about the spring of the day that Samuel called Saul to the top of the house, saying, up, that I may send thee away. And Saul arose, and they went out both of them, and he and Samuel abroad. And as they were going down to the end of the city, Samuel said to Saul, bid the servant pass on before us. And he passed on, but stand thou still a while, that I may show thee the word of God. You know, we'll pick up some quotes here. The other thing I get from this particular passage, later on we're going to find out about Saul, how he was given very specific instructions of waiting for Samuel before, you know, they had a sacrifice and things of that nature. Just wait, you know, and he would meet him on a certain day at a certain time. But Saul decided that he couldn't wait. He saw the people departing from him, and he thought for sure that he was going to be in trouble. So he decided to have a sacrifice himself and start the sacrifice before Samuel. And he didn't even kill all the people in the battle that he was supposed to kill. And then he got rebuked. He'd already had this experience. So he knew really what to do based on this. His first encounter with Samuel, he knew how things went. The people told him how things went. But he got so far ahead of God that God rebuked him and told him that, you know, his rebellion was like witchcraft. His rebellion was like witchcraft, right? God actually absolutely hated what he did. His sacrifice was no good to God because he didn't do it the way God wanted him to do it, right? And we got to learn to just wait on the Lord. We got to learn to just wait on the Lord. So here, I want to pick up a quote. Brother Solomon sent this to us, brothers. And before I start reading this, I wanted to just mention, there were things that happened in Brother Branham's ministry. And he would share the testimony with people. And they would hear it, you know, and be a blessing to them. But when you really look deeper into the testimony, you can see that I like to call that testimony a scriptural experience. And what I mean by that is that this thing that we see happening in Brother Branham's life, we can see it has already happened in the Bible. Right. And for me, when I see things like that, where, man, this happened in the Bible and it's also happening in Brother Branham's life, that helps me to realize that God is speaking through this servant.
Amen.
And I like to say it like that because people that would come up against Brother Branham and call him false and whatever they want to say about him, my question is, God's doing things like this in your life?
Right.
Right.
I mean, I'm talking about scriptural things, things that we can read in the Bible. This happened here, and then, you know, I'm pulling a quote out of 1961 and it happened again. Has that happened to you or anybody close to you?
Right?
Because if it's not happening to you, then I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm going to stay with this.
Amen. Right. That's right. Amen.
I'm just hang right here with this because right. I see God doing scriptural things in this person's life. All right. This is not a message to eyeball. Brother Branham says, I got a letter that come in the day before yesterday, laying right back there in the file last fall. He says, while on a hunting trip for last spring, it was a year ago, an Indian boy named Oscar that we hunt on the highway up there with. It's where the angel of the Lord, I told you, across here would bring that caribou and that silver-tipped grizzly. All of you remember it. Then that boy, when I walked into, he walked into the tent last spring, when Bud asked me to ask the blessing, he took off his gloves, he was riding. He put them gloves on and was ready to go out. He was a Catholic. He had nothing to do with it. So he didn't want nothing to do with this prayer that Brother Brown was getting ready to pray. You know, he's gonna walk on out. And it says last fall, when he could, standing by my side, when his mother was back there dying with a heart attack, he said, "Won't you come back and pray for her?" I went back in this little hut of the Indians there, and they're all of them gathered around this mother and her dying. Couldn't speak a word of English. And the Holy Spirit came down and told the mother through an interpreter, her daughter, what had taken place, which was even called her name. Now, that to me, just that's the Holy Ghost. Brother Branham, he wouldn't know the Indian people's names. Mm-hmm. It only what we read in books do we know, you know, Geronimo and people like that. But only the Holy Ghost can reveal an Indian woman name, right? So here he is, and the Holy Spirit is calling this lady name, told her what she was, and what tribe she was from. That's the Holy Ghost, right? And how that this would happen, and the mother was instantly healed. He says, and the next morning I went back to see them, and I rode out, going 40 miles back for a sheep. There they was all sitting there. She was getting on the horse to go back to dry moose meat. And I said, last night when I prayed, I said, "Our Father who art in heaven," I said, "Louise," I said, "it was a Catholic prayer you all started. And then of course I left you." And I said, "Now I'm just gonna thank God. We don't say prayers, we pray." Amen. We don't just say prayers, but we pray.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Amen. She said, "We no more Catholic." I mean, after one night, right? She said, "We no more Catholic." She said, "We believe like you believe. We want you to take all of us and baptize us the way you baptize." And then they say, "We want the Holy Ghost." The Indian people, "We want the Holy Ghost." He says, on the trip back, the boy had lost his horses months before that. Couldn't find them. Months has passed. This man has lost his horses. Months have gone by. Could not find the horses. Lord Jesus. Now, I'm going to just pause right there. If somebody in here has lost something, mm-hmm. and months done passed, mm-hmm. don't you give up on what you lost.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes. I'm telling you right now, don't give up. God knows exactly where it's at.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. This boy had lost his horses months before that, couldn't find them, and the guy was bawling him out. Said, "Oscar, you know better than to leave them horses like that, so just making them feel so bad. Months have passed by. You know better than to leave them horses like that. The bears, lots of grizzlies, would eat them horses up by this time. So, you don't have no more horses. The horse is gone." That's what he's trying to tell him. And he kept standing close to me. He said one night, "Me ask you something." So this Oscar that wouldn't stand in the room to pray, but after his mama got healed, now his horse has been gone for months. And he's been told that, "You know, the bears have got a hold of him. I can't believe you let the horses out like that. You done made this giant mistake. Why would you ever do nothing like?" I mean, he now he knows he's in the presence of somebody that can make a difference.
Amen. Right.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God. This man, he just kept watching Brother Branham. So finally says one night, let me ask you something." I said, "Yes." I said, "Brother Branham," says, "pray God. God, give me my ponies back." Now, wasn't Saul coming looking for animals like this?
Uh-huh.
It's a scriptural experience that Brother Branham is sharing with us, so we can see the same God that was dealing with Samuel back in the Bible.
Amen.
It's the same God that was dealing with Brother Branham in his day.
Yes.
Hallelujah. It wasn't Saul. It was an Oscar. Mm-hmm. And that was his American name. Mm-hmm. Who knows what his Indian name was? Mm-hmm. Look at it now. He says, "Pray God, give me my ponies back." I said, Bud said the bear ate them up. Now he's testing his faith. Because Bud had already scolded Oscar and told him, you know, you shouldn't have left them ponies there. I guarantee bears and got them and all that. And Oscar, I mean, months have gone by. He ain't seen these ponies. He says, Bud said the bears ate them up. He said, Brother Branham, ask God. God give Oscar his ponies back.
Amen.
I said, you believe that, Oscar? Months have gone by, y'all. And he asked, do you believe that, Oscar? Oscar said, he said, I believe. God make my mother well. God tell you where bear was, so the caribou and the silver-tipped grizzly, you know, God tell you where bear was, where game was, he's talking about the caribou, says that God know where game is, know where my horses is. See, a year ago, while standing back there with Fred Softman, who is here tonight, Billy Paul, my son, the Holy Spirit came down and said, Oscar, oh my, you will find your ponies. They'll be standing in snow. And there lays the letter, wrote me last week, and I got it Friday. Come in here, it's laying right there in the file now. Brother Branham, Oscar, find ponies standing in snow.
Amen.
Amen.
And Brother Branham said, how do you live? Nobody knows. There, the boy, at the time of year, June, there is so much snow there. It's still 20 or 30 foot of snow around them. How did they stay there through the winter in this canyon? Oscar can get into them on snowshoes, but of course, he can't put snowshoes on his pony. But he found them according to the word of the Lord.
Amen.
It might sound like a nut. Just believe it one time.
Amen.
Depends on how your grades are. And I'm telling you, some of them have been lost for months, even years.
Amen.
Don't you give up on anything that the devil's taken from.
Amen.
You believe God, and you have faith like Oscar had, God will bring it to you.
That's right.
God knows where that. Amen. I mean, maybe the devil done took money from me. I'm believing I'm going to get all of
it. Amen.
Give me a picture.
I know Brother was sharing testimony about a business deal that went sour and how he had lost so much money in the business deal. And, you know, he believed in God that somehow them people are going to pay him for all the money that he lost.
Amen.
I believe God with him.
Amen.
Yeah. God is concerned about that. That ain't going to get no victory.
Amen.
I don't care how long it's been, you've been waiting. You can't believe it. You hear testimonies like this, you just, they let your faith get anointed.
Amen.
Believe God for the impossible. This next quote is out of Explaining the Ministry. And, you know, another scriptural thing that happened here in this chapter in 1 Samuel 9. Again, it's one thing to read the Bible and we can see historically how God moved. But what we need to see is that the God that moved then is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He still wants to move that way.
Amen.
As I was talking, you know, the last time we were teaching on this, I honestly believe in the gifts of God. I honestly believe that they're genuine gifts of God.
Amen.
I believe this. Now, I believe some people try to tap into this. When they tap into it, they're not spiritually mature in it. So sometimes they can create more of a problem than anything else. Like, you know, this man prayed for my ponies, right? Or I read to you how one man said, Brother Branham, where my keys at? I know God will show you where my keys at. And they approached them the right way. And God showed them where the keys were. Right, I believe if we have specific things like that, God will speak specifically. When Saul came to Samuel, he was like, "Yeah, don't worry about your daddy's donkeys; they've been found." And also, you know, we got some business to take care of with you. God told me that you was coming here, and this happened in Brother Branham's ministry days before people would show up. God already told them who was coming, what the question was going to be. He actually write the questions out. And give it to the people and say, this is your question, right? Mm-hmm. Is it because God showed him these things? Right? And I believe God is able to speak. Brother Branham's not here anymore, but I believe the gift that was operating in his life is something to anoint our faith to believe that God can do the same thing amongst
Amen.
Us.
Amen.
It's still in the body.
Amen.
God can speak through a dream.
Amen.
God can speak through thus saith the Lord.
Amen.
We have somebody speaking tongues, and then somebody interpreting, and God giveth thus saith the Lord. God has so many ways to get his word to
Amen.
His people.
Amen.
But we have to be prepared for it, ready for it. And you know, and you want it to be sincere, you want it to be right, because like I said, the one fella come ask me, does the number 200 mean anything to you? I was like, let me think about it. Immediately on the top of my head, I couldn't figure out what 200 was. Then he said specifically, does the number 258 mean anything? Now you really got me. Is it supposed to mean something to me? Because I don't know what 258 means. I have no idea what 258 means. He said, well, I just believe it's going to be more than 258. It's going to be double that. Okay, all right, I'll receive that. But double what? What am I supposed to be receiving? If you're talking about money, I receive it. But he keeps saying members of the church, that the members of the church got to be 500. I said, well, praise the Lord. I'm grateful for that, but you know, I ain't asked God for no 500 people in the church.
Right.
If he said it, then yeah, we'll work with it, but
right.
but that's not what I'm asking for. I never asked God for nothing like that. They say big church,
big problems.
Little church, little problems. I mean, I'm not asking for 500. You'll never hear me pray nothing like that. I never pray nothing like that. If God do it, that's on God, but you'll never hear me pray nothing like that. But every time he see me, he always talk about the church growing. Well, yeah, you're right. It is. But spiritually is the way we want to grow.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
We want to grow spiritually.
Amen.
So whatever, and it's always, I would just tell you, if you really look back in the scripture, prophets in the Bible, they didn't always prophesy good news.
That's right.
True and always good news. And they were still prophets.
Mm-hmm.
So
Amen.
Nowadays these modern day prophets wanna like Brother Branham didn't prophesy good news. He told the sister what's the sister?
Shakarian.
That's not her. Her name is Shakarian.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, no, that don't sound right. But I know it's Demas Shakarian's sister. I think it was something like that. But he told her that thus saith the Lord, you're gonna die. And they say, a prophecy is bad, and I'm going to die. So the other people didn't really like that. And because, especially, you know, these were people that gave money. But thus saith the Lord, you're going to die. Get your house in order. You ought to be happy that somebody tell you to get your house in order.
Right.
Yeah.
All right, but she said, no. And so somebody rose up and thus saith the Lord, my sister, thou shalt not die. But you'll live and declare the works of the Lord. They just prophesied right before Brother Branham got to preach. And he comes out and he preaches his sermon, never even say anything about the prophecy. Lord have mercy. Brother Billy Paul said, Daddy, you told me to respect gifts. I said, yeah, son. He said, that man just rose up and said, thus saith the Lord, under the anointing that she was not going to die, but you said she was going to die. He said, God ain't told me nothing different. And what that was to me, if you ever read the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah had gave a prophecy, and the other fellow rose up and said, thus saith the Lord, you're going to push the Assyrians out with these horns. The Babylonians going out with these horns. Thus saith the Lord, he's all anointed. Thus saith the Lord. And people rejoicing because Jeremiah's sitting there saying, y'all get ready to go into captivity. And if y'all don't follow what I'm telling y'all as the word of the Lord, y'all get ready to go into captivity. And Jeremiah sat there in the service and let that fellow prophesy, and everybody was all rejoicing. Jeremiah, in church, he said to the man's prophecy, amen. He said, amen. But after church, he went to that fellow and said, thus saith the Lord, because you got the people excited with your prophecy. You won't live to see such and such and such and such. But in a year, you'll be dead. And we'll see who the real prophet is. Within a year, that fellow was no longer to be seen. They were not going to hear his prophecies anymore. But even though the people saw that, they were still not willing to turn their hearts and hear what Jeremiah was saying. We see God has vindicated the prophet in our day. We see things that happen in his ministry that happen in Scripture. We must take heed to what that prophet is trying to say to us. Here the message explained in the ministry, he says this. The same thing happened down there when this in Mexico about this little baby there, the little dead baby that night, little mother I was telling you about, the spirit had gone. Same thing our Lord did when he was here on earth, when the spirit of Lazarus was 4 days somewhere, but with the Holy Spirit, he turned the spirit of Lazarus back. Now what he's saying is that dead baby in Mexico was dead for 12 hours. That mama knew that they were praying for the sick, and she got to that meeting, didn't have no prayer card. All she had was her faith, and that's all she needed.
Amen.
She come to that meeting with a dead baby in her arms and saying, please pray for my baby, and pushing through the crowd. Now she pushed through that crowd to get up there to get her baby prayed for. God showed her vision to Brother Brandon. He had sent somebody else, Brother Jack Moore. He sent him out to pray for the baby, and he told Brother Jack, stop, don't go any further. God just showed me a vision, bring the lady here. And he saw a smiling baby in the vision, and he said he didn't know if that was a baby or not, but he prayed for the baby according to what God had showed him, and God raised that baby from the dead right there before that audience.
Amen.
That God still lives. And what Brother Brandon was saying, the same way Lazarus was gone 4 days, this baby was gone for 12 hours. God raised Lazarus up. God raised that baby up.
Amen.
Yeah. He says many times people come all kinds of things. It says ask these different questions here. Brother Fred Softman, I believe I see him standing there at the door. He just, one thing you can see what I mean. We do not believe and taking a gift of God and making a Ouija board out of it. You shouldn't do that. Just in cases. And God won't work it like that. It takes him to do it after all. He says some friends was coming to see him. The trailer was locked up. He couldn't find the keys for 2 or 3 days. He was just frantic. The people was coming to call. He said, Brother Branham, one time. And see how this man put the thing back in Scripture? One time the sons of Jesse was out hunting for some mules and they couldn't find him. So they went down to Samuel and asked where it was. Samuel told them the mules had already returned. He said, will you ask God about the keys? He said, go to your closet after prayer. They prayed, and after prayer he says, go to your closet, look in a little sweater that you was wearing a few days ago, and there was the keys.
Wow.
I still believe that.
Amen.
Oh yes.
Amen.
Oh yes.
I believe we can bring prayer requests to the prayer line.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe God can give answers.
Yes.
Amen.
I believe God can show visions even while people are in prayer.
Amen.
I believe this type of God.
Amen.
We look. We got to be a spiritual church. We got to be a spiritual church, right? I think sometimes we just be going through the motions, but we got to go beyond the motions.
Amen.
And we got to get ourselves to what we see in Scripture should be in operation.
Amen.
But Brandon said, but every church should have the 9 spiritual gifts operating in that church. That's
Amen.
What he told us. So I'm not satisfied
Amen.
Just going through routine. This is the God that I believe.
Amen.
I'm not just reading out of the Bible just to read it. I'm trying to bring it current to you. This was in the 60s. I mean, this is what we see in the Bible thousands of years ago, but now we're seeing something that happened in the 60s. That let me know he's the same yesterday.
Amen.
Amen.
And we don't have a Samuel here. And we don't have a William Branham here, but we still got the Holy Ghost here.
Amen.
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 Amen. Still got God here. I believe that this is when people get surrendered to God. God can speak. But I think we can bring requests. And actually, if we brought things that we prayed for, and God has answered prayer.
Amen.
Many testimonies come back of, you know, y'all prayed over this and God answered. Y'all prayed and God did this. God did. We thank God. I'm looking for like a visions to pop.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
A request is given and a vision comes. I mean, after prayer. Notice now, it was after prayer, right. A vision came and showed exactly where it was. Look in your coat pocket. And when you go look in there, it's right there. Mm-hmm. Yes, Lord. I know folk that done found money and old suitcases. Like Brother Westco say, pocketbook. Sister Westco had an old pocketbook and didn't even know that she had it. And it was money sitting all inside the pocket. The pocketbook. God do things.
Amen.
I was recently talking to somebody about, I forget what it was. Oh, it's a business idea. And I was telling them, you know, when you have the right motive with why you're doing business, God will bless it.
Amen.
And so, you know, there were some brothers that were in the oil business. And Brother Branham, they process oil. They dug for oil and process oil. And Brother Branham actually told me, say, brothers, over in this particular area, there's some oil there. And they said to themselves, well, I tell you what, if we find that oil, we're going to go in there and start digging. We find that oil, we're going to be a blessing to the work of the Lord, and we're going to do this, and we're going to do that, and we're going to do this. And they was looking for the oil, and a little bit here, a little bit there, a little bit here, and not the main spring. And then as they kept digging, they start changing their language. Well, when we find this money, I'm getting ready to go on vacation, and I'm going to take my family on vacation, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. They start getting real selfish.
Yeah.
And before you know it, they were so selfish that they almost forgot about God. So what God allowed them to do is be within 100 yards. 100 yards, and let another company come in and start digging right next to them, 100 yards from them, and they hit the mainspring over there, and these brothers missed out. Now, Brother Branham told them it was there. Now, you know, had them brothers hit it, you know how wealthy those brothers would have been?
Yeah.
I believe there's God that can show you.
Amen.
Where the mainspring is.
Amen.
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 Amen. All you need is one mainspring.
Yeah.
Yeah. All you need is one mainspring.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lord have mercy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And business, I just need one mainspring that keeps sending me customers. Just one main. Lord, show me where the mainspring is.
Yeah. Yes.
You have to put some work in to find the mainstream. Right.
Right.
But once you tap into it,
yeah,
it's just a flow constantly.
Amen.
Constantly.
Amen.
Thank you.
Lord
Amen.
Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Told him, go to your closet after prayer, look in a little what sweater that you was wearing a few days ago. And there was the key. See, what is it? It means this one thing, friends, that God is still just as much God as he ever was. Now we must cope with that. We must believe that. We must know that that is true. All right, let me catch this ever-present word from the Rock. So Brother Neville and I will be working together on this and doing everything that we can for the benefit of the people. Now going back, each time we pray for the sick, we always glad to do that, and I'll probably do it every meeting. If people are sick, to pray for them. I do not desire to have any more discernment, see. Now here's what happened. I've tried, and I know I've done things that's wrong, but I've tried to live close enough to God, all the time to God. That's how these visions would happen. So this is how I am living close enough to God. That's how these visions would happen, how they would take place. Even people would lose things and call me up, ask me to go to pray to the Lord, to ask where it was at, where it was at. Like Jesse lost the mules, and the boys went down and found the property, and they told them where the muse had done return home and so forth like that. That is perfectly all right. But if it gets so much of it, so many, just not in locality like this, it's worldwide, see? So it just gets, it keeps me so tore up, and then keeping you right on the edge all the time till it got to a place. It says, that's what caused brethren to get the doctrine started that I was the incarnated Lord Jesus Christ. And you can imagine people, you know, if a brother telling me where my keys at, telling me where my pony's at, telling me everything. I mean, look, you stop listening to anybody. I just want to have fellowship with this brother. Yeah. And can you imagine this gift being in the world that we're in now? I mean, oh Lord. It's not enough hours in a day. Right? It's not enough days in a week. It's not enough days in a month for him to get to everybody in the world. And this is the thing, God would have to take his prophet off the scene. Uh-huh. In order for our faith to actually rise up to realize that, no, it's God that's doing this. It's not the prophet doing this. It's God doing this through his prophet. But if these same gifts can operate in the body, and God can do the same thing in the local church. If we just get the church on the word, God can do the same thing in the local church. We get people not have competitive spirits.
Give me people that can interact.
That right there, kill the spirit of God.
Yeah.
I mean, I appreciate the ministers here in the church because they don't compete with one another. Everybody understands what their lane is.
Hold it.
And they get in their lane and they do it.
Yeah.
Hold it.
Now, y'all heard of Brother Troy up here, and he went back to Constance.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you, ain't but a few brothers that can go there.
Right.
And I ain't going to say get away with it, because it's not really getting away with it. It's how God made them.
Amen.
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 It's how God made them.
Amen.
And somebody else might come and try to, it ain't going to work. And let me tell you something, Brother Trump won't do that all the time.
Right.
He won't do it all the time, but sometimes you might get, God might just give him one. And when God gave it to him and to get in his spirit, that's it. Just let it fly. Y'all know how to preach? Go ahead, man. Preach.
Yes. Amen.
All right.
Yes, Lord. Yes. You know, and sometimes that's a benefit for the body.
Yes.
Right? That's for us to rejoice over. That's what God doing in our midst.
Right?
We happy about this.
Right.
Praise God. You know? But I realize we all different.
Right.
And we got to appreciate our differences.
Yes, sir.
But if we just get people yielded to the Spirit of God, we could see God moving in these same ways.
Man,
you know, Brother Branham even talked about, he taught how the gift should operate, and he was saying how, when he was teaching, they're saying, you know, maybe have the gifts come before service, and they get together in the room and they pray. And then maybe some Lord speak to somebody in tongues, and another person interpret, and they come out and say, thus saith the Lord, tell brother so-and-so to move out of his house, because tomorrow at such and such a time, something gonna come through there and damage the house, so he needs to be out of the house by then, and give that to the person. And he says, you wait on tomorrow, and if that thing don't happen, supposed to come there and sweep over the house, then you come back and tell the people, ooh, you got a bad spirit on you. You have to pray that spirit off of you. Now, he didn't say the gift can't be used anymore.
Right.
I think that's what we done did. Oh, you got an evil spirit on you, and we'll never hear from you again. You didn't say it like that.
Mm. Right. That's right.
You missed it, my brother. And I'm going to tell you something. If you miss it and you got the right spirit, you don't mind repenting.
Right.
Because you don't want an evil spirit on you.
Right? Amen.
Exactly.
Oh Lord, I'm gonna say something while we're here. Ain't no sense in prophesying about when the rapture gonna happen.
Mm.
Don't put no date on the rapture.
Amen.
Scripture tells us that no man knows the day nor the hour. So ain't no sense in trying to present that as if that makes you got a gift. That actually scares people. Right? Because if you miss, now we really know something's wrong. And look, Jesus never put a date on the rapture.
Right. Amen.
Jesus didn't. Brother Branham never put a date on the rapture. So why would we come out and try to put dates on the rapture?
Right. Amen. That's right.
That's a bad spirit.
Amen.
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 Amen. All right. Let me keep on going. I don't even know where I'm at. Okay. He said that's what caused the brethren to get the doctrine started. That was the incarnated Lord Jesus Christ. And we know that would just tear the ministry all to pieces and bring reproach upon Christ and everything. See, that's the reason I had to give them a great shake to stop it right at once, to let them know that was not of God. That was of the devil. See, and they're good people. And to show those people are born again in the Spirit of God, because when they seen the truth by the Scripture, they returned to God exactly immediately. So that showed it was Satan trying to do something with the people. They were all godly Christian people. What he's saying here is that, you know, again, if a man has a gift like this in his life, that folk can just approach him and God answers his prayer. You can see how people can get into a state like this. This is Jesus in the flesh, right? You can see how people can get there. I'm so glad that he had the ability to be able to take people back to the Word.
Amen.
Right. And he always did that. He always took them right back to the Word. Let them see, no, don't, I'm just your brother. God is just using the gift of my life, but I'm your brother. Don't make me no more like Brother Troll was saying. You put a target on a man's back. Don't make me no more than what I need to be made.
Amen.
And you know, don't do that. Just respect me as your brother. Right? Just you know, that's all it is. Just respect me as your brother. One time you all remember Brother Mike, and I preached a sermon in the church, and Brother Mike had just come here, and he didn't know what to do. He was just shouting all over the front of the church. I mean, he was just, that's it. He just shouting. So I'm like, praise the Lord, I'm done. I'm closing up my Bible. Brother Mike come running up to the pulpit, grab my Bible, and I'm sitting, and he grabbed my Bible, and I'm grabbing it back. We just going back and forth. I said, no, brother, don't do that. He said, no, brother, Pastor, let me know. Call it being armor bearer. I don't even know what people get these things. But what is this? Did Jesus have an armor bearer? Maybe Peter. Peter took somebody's sword and cut off somebody. But even in that, you know, I mean, I was reading, listening to a something. I got to get back in my thought here. But they're saying that Jesus had to put that back on Peter. He had to heal that man's ear because that was a capital offense that Peter had committed. He would have died had they saw evidence of the man's ear being cut off. But Jesus destroyed the evidence.
Give me a shot.
Y'all steal my sermon.
Give me a shot. Let's hold it, huh?
Jesus destroyed the evidence. Right, but what I was saying is that, you know, Brother Mike, just sincerely was just trying to do something nice. I'm not asking for armor bearers. I don't even know what that is. We're not gonna have that here. Somebody to, you know, get the water and get the this and get the that and, you know, just lay out his Bible before he preach and, you know. Come on, y'all. And people fight to get those positions in churches. It's not even in the Bible. It's nowhere in the Bible, right? But Brother Mike come and he was doing that, so he whispered in my ear, he said, Pastor, just let me do it this one time. And I'm already up here. All right, Brother Mike, go ahead. And he said, I'm going to do it again. Thank you. but we got to be mindful. That's, and even Brother Brandon, he didn't even have all of that. You know what I mean? He just didn't, he didn't, and you know, even y'all see it all around. Here.
Yeah.
We don't do that.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't want the church to do that.
No.
I would never want the church to do that. I appreciate appreciations. You know, and sometimes when you do things like that, it is a blessing back to the people. It is a blessing back to the people. When the woman in the scripture and her husband built a room for the prophet, that was a blessing back to her. So when her son died, God God return that blessing back to her. Yeah. So sometimes God, and even the woman that was sustained by giving Elijah a cake first, right? So sometimes God does bless the people when they bless God's servant.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But there ain't nothing that we're going to be pulling on people, mm-hmm. raising money. And
right.
No. Mm-hmm. I often, like I saw some video recently, I'm trying to get out of here. They had an offering and the pastor put a, what kind of collar that he had in church? I think it was a Rolls Royce or something. He had in the church in the pulpit. And they just, he just preached about, this is how God blesses. Look at what God does. And one person yelled out in the audience, can we drive it? And he said, no, praise God. Boy, it wasn't a blessing from God.
Yeah.
And if you're that tied to it, that people can't drive it, don't worry about it.
Yeah.
You keep it.
Yeah.
You keep it. Amen. But I tell you the truth, church. God is real.
Yeah.
God is real. Did I finish this? I think, yeah, now, let me see. That's fine. That's fine. Yeah, that's fine. I want to encourage as we're reading some of this, let's not keep God as a past tense God. Let's bring him forward. He is the same yesterday, today, and what we're reading about, not only thousands of years ago in scripture, but even 1960s, that same God is still living in it. We just get ourselves sincere enough, spiritual enough, I believe we'll see the same things happen right in our midst. And that sometimes we move in the most unexpected people. But nonetheless, it's God in our midst.
Mm-hmm.
Praise the Lord. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we are grateful for this time to be able to just study the Word, to be encouraged and strengthened, Father, through what we read, to see how you're not just a God of back there, but you're a God of right here, right now.
Yes.
We can just approach with the same faith when Saul and his servant decided to go looking for him. They couldn't find those animals, but they said there's a prophet in the land. We just get to the prophet, he'll tell us where it is. Lord, as they approached, didn't realize that you had even a greater plan for them being there. And you used the mules to get them to that spot. Lord, we could see also in here in Brother Ramsey, a little tribe of Indians, God, that didn't even know anything about what you did, but when they saw you raise a sick person from their deathbed and they were completely made whole, riding the horse the next day, they knew there was something real about you. That Oscar could approach the prophet and say, where, just pray that I'll find my ponies. Months had gone by, the man had, he didn't know where they were, but he just prayed. If you pray, God will show you where those ponies are. And because of his faith, it was demonstrated and shown to him that the ponies we found in the snow. Lord, we know that you didn't stop back there with Oscar. But Lord, we have needs. We have things that we bring in that into your presence, and we pray, Father, the Spirit of God would use whatever means necessary to bring us the answer. We know you speak through dreams. We know you speak through sermons. You speak through ministers. God, you speak through saints. You speak through visions. You speak through tongues and interpretation of tongues. There are so many ways, God, that you use, so we won't limit you on how you speak to us, but we will ask, speak, Lord. Speak, Father. Bring answers to the questions that we have, the needs that we have. Some of us desire an answer in our business and how we should maneuver and do something. Help us to tap into that mainspring, God. Lord, that once that you are our source, but there's a resource that we can tap into that would just give us a steady stream of clientele. So help us to find it, Father. Help us to be diligent and to be working, Father, doing everything we can, just as those brothers were looking for order, we want to find, Lord, that stream that would just constantly create a flow. Father, we just give you the glory. We give you the honor. We give you the praise. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, let me give you the announcements. We have.
Sorry, wrong one.
Is that Sunday?
Yeah.
Is it still the same?
It's stuck.
All right.
Hold on. It's stuck.
No problem. I got it. So our service, we'll be back in service on Sunday. Sunday coming up. I guess we got a tape.
Yes.
Friday night tape service. Yeah, it's first Friday night. And what is a tape? You can just put it right
we
on
have
the
seen
app.
It start.
We have seen it
start. Okay. All right, so the Friday night tape service, we have seen it start and have come to worship him. And that says 63-12-16. It's a date, so remember that for Friday night. Sunday we'll have prayer from 8:30 to 9:30, and then service will start at 9:30. In between that, we have Sunday school for our youth and young adults, and that's from 8:45 to 9:15. Streaming happens on Facebook at SAT Tabernacle, and also our church website, john423.org. And I saw Friday, we're going to have a youth service on Friday, December 19th. So it'll be the last one for this year, Friday, December 19th, a youth service here at 7:30 p.m. So I'll keep that in mind. And then, but don't forget the meetings that are coming up this weekend over at House of Fellowship. The anniversary meetings, address is there on the board, but in Amsterdam, they can meet Friday, December 5th at 7 p.m. Saturday, December 6th at 5 p.m., and then Sunday, December 7th at 11 a.m. And also, Shekinah Living Word Tabernacle Anniversary Meetings, that's in Port St. Lucie. Brother Mario Luther, they also meet Friday, December 5th, Saturday, December 6th, and Sunday, December 7th. So keep that in mind. Our giving, we have Zelle, PayPal, or Cash App for online giving. Spurred up Zelle because of no fees. But if you have to use Zelle or PayPal, you can use giving at john423.org, Cash App, dollar sign spiritual T. Our mailing address is at the bottom of the screen there. Those in the sanctuary, we have a box on the back table as you're exiting or entering where you can use for your giving. I also just solicit your prayers. We, on Thanksgiving Day, we had a cousin that had a heart attack and passed away on Thanksgiving Day. So his services will be happening this weekend. And just ask that you all just pray for our family during this time. Praise the Lord. Do we have any testimonies anyone want to share tonight? Okay. All right, Moses, praise the Lord. Thank God, thank God.
I want to thank God for something you did for me like earlier this week. I remember last month when I had to write the testimony that God had blessed me with a job, but before I even start the job, the lady reached out to me and she said,
"Come this way, sis. There you go."
And she said, unfortunately, we cannot give you the job anymore. I was so mad about that because I had leave the job that I have and then come to find out I'm not working anymore. And then I'm like, okay, God. After I got mad and all of that, I said, God, may your will be done. And then I was waiting and enjoying the kids at the house. I applied to a job, but I was not even waiting for a response from them. But they called me, and then I got an interview today, and then I got a new job, and then it was more pay. And the other job, I was supposed to drive 40 minutes away to go to work, but it's like 10 minutes away.
Amen.
From my
house. Amen. Amen. Amen.
I want to thank God for that, but I know He has more for me. I'm not going to stop at the job. I got more, and then I'm going to come back with a greater testimony.
Amen.
I believe we can do it.
Amen.
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 Wow, 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 wow. Amen. So we're still hearing testimonies of hope.
Amen.
Amen.
Blessing. Anybody else have a testimony you want to share today? All right. Praise the Lord. All right. I did need to mention for our New Year's Eve service, we're working on something. The church here wants to use the building for their New Year's Eve service. So we are looking to move our New Year's Eve service somewhere else. So I'll hopefully by the weekend I should have an update for you. We'll have an address and anything like that. But we'll plan on relocating for our New Year's Eve service. And my desire is just that just for us to be able to come together.
Amen.
And just to be able to kind of think back on this past 2 year journey that the Lord has brought us through, especially with the theme of get back in step and then overflow, and you know, I will restore, saith the Lord. I've seen God just move in our midst.
Amen.
In this past 2 years. There's been a lot God has done. And on that New Year's Eve night, we should have time for testimonies for people just to kind of share. And I want you all just to just maybe be thinking about what you want to share for that night. But let's go back on this 2 year journey and let's remember what the Lord has done for us. And let's thank Him on that.
Amen.
We go into a new year, new season, new inspiration. Amen. For the new year. But thanking for what He's done these past 2 years. It has
Amen.
Been a blessing.
Oh, yes.
It has been a blessing. And I know, even though the theme may change, restoration still going to be happening.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.
We all the time.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
We thank God for that. So just keep that in mind. Hopefully we'll have an update for you either Sunday or at least by next Wednesday night. Just so you'll be aware. All right, let's have a word of prayer before we dismiss. Father, we are grateful for the opportunity to come and to hear you speak to us through the word. And Lord, just one of the things that the Holy Spirit harped on tonight is if there is anything that has been lost, and no matter how long it's been lost, God, we would apply the same faith. God, that we would see you restore what was lost. And I pray for restoration financially. If somebody's lost money and it's something, I pray for restoration financially. God, if there is something material that has been lost, I pray for restoration. If a job has been lost, as Sister Melissa just testified, God, may you restore and get a better job with more pay, because we know these are the things that you do. Father, we ask that you would just move upon every need that the people would have. And we praise you for all the things that you are doing in our midst, Lord. We can never thank you enough. We realize that you're always moving. And we just trust, God, that as we leave this presence, this place, we will not leave your presence. That you, God, would go with us, that you would keep us, that you would allow us to return again on Sunday morning. We pray your comfort over my family, my aunt who's lost her only son. We trust, oh God, that you would just help her, help my cousins, Lord, through this time. also his wife, Lord, who is leaving behind. We pray that you give her strength. And Lord, just each one in their respective places, that God, you would just cover them through this season. It's never easy, especially during the holiday time, to lose loved ones. But we pray that you would help each one. And if there's other families here that also lost loved ones, we pray your strength to those families, that you just continue to cover them and keep them through this season. God, we give you all glory. We give you all honor. And we give you all praise. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you. Brothers will come at this time to dismiss you.